Phineas has won 8 Grammys in 2 years. He's not yet 25. He won Producer of the Year, non-classical, for his collaboration with his sister Billie Eilish on her debut studio album. He's also produced for Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, and Demi Lovato, and now he's out with a full-length album of his own. It is philosophical, political, and contemplative.
It feels a little medieval. If you ask me, like I'm watching a sequel I've already seen. I could tell you what happens to the new king when he goes out of fashion. I want my money back now.
Phineas' new album is called Optimist. He joins us now from Los Angeles. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you for taking time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. And it's been a tough year and a half, as I don't have to tell you. Now is the time for The Optimist?
You know, to me, the title Optimist is more aspirational. I think optimism is something I try to strive for. At my most optimistic, I'm also the hardest working and the most successful.
I want to take a moment to listen to some of your song, The Kids Are All Dying.
Bang, bang, knocking on my door. Do you have a dollar? Would you like to fund a war? What's your carbon footprint and could you be doing more? I tried saving the world, but then I got bored. Ka-ching,
ching. Kind of a devastating line, I tried saving the world, but then I got bored. What did you want to do with this song?
You know, I was writing about heartbreak or my own personal life, and there were sort of bigger things happening.
How can you sing about love when the kids are all dying? How can you sing about drugs? Politicians are lying. How can you sing about sex when the school is on lockdown, lockdown?
You know, it's sort of dual parts, my own kind of existential crisis of like, oh, what am I doing singing about my personal matters? And then also maybe a little bit like the voice of the internet in the back of my head chastising me if I'm saying something that's personal and I'm not speaking out enough on an issue. So it's sort of both.
You bring up political themes in your songs. You refer to a lot of things that have happened. Do you ever wonder if that'll date your song?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the most specific political song I've ever put out. I put out the day that Trump lost the election. And that I didn't put on this album because that felt like it would date this album. And, you know, to me, any political themes on this album, my hope is that they're abstract enough that they won't date it too directly. But yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the day, everything becomes a part of the evidence of its time. We'll look back in the future at art. You know, we'll see it for the accuracies and the things it got right, and we'll see it for the inaccuracies.
You also do address the, I think it's safe to say, timeless theme of loss. I want to ask you about particularly some lines from your song, Love is Pain.
That hollow feeling in your chest as you both wordlessly undress after a fight. It's getting late, you tried your best, but then she cried and you're to blame. And love is pain.
You got that right. But. Love is also love. Love is also light. Love is what keeps us going.
Yeah, I mean, it's all of those things. To me, this song was kind of about the ongoing struggle to maintain a healthy, balanced relationship with somebody who you love.
Something's missing. There's this dream I've had about mom and dad. Makes me so sad I wake up crying. Can't believe I'll have to live through that. Wish it wasn't mandatory dying.
I also feel like I've been thinking about death my whole life. And when I was 2 or 3 years old, my granddad died. in the room I was in the chair in front of me, and watching my infallible parents and my infallible aunts and uncles grieve for the first time and sort of succumb to the human condition, which is having your heart broken. From that day forward, it always felt very real to me and very matter of fact. And I think, you know, there's a good side of that. You're grateful for moments that you have with people and you don't take time for granted.
Let me ask you about this song, finally, what they say about us.
So don't you give up, we've got the time to take the world and make it better than it ever was.
What would that look like for you, making the world better than it ever was?
I think it's probably not going to get done by one individual person. The genesis of that song was last summer when I was participating in protests after the murder of George Floyd. Most of the protests that I attended were very inspiring to me. I was surrounded by incredibly like-minded people who were walking the walk and standing up for things that they believed in. And what that song was about was at the same time as this was happening, I was following a woman whose husband was in the ICU, I think in a coma at the time, battling COVID-19. And I sort of wanted to write this song like as if I were her sitting at the bedside of somebody you love and then maybe looking out the window and seeing police with riot shields walking down the street and just sort of this strange confluence of crises. You know, you have this sort of long-term, endless cycle of racism, and then you have this immediate concern of, you know, illness befalling the people that you love. And to me, it was a song about, like, the convergence of those two things.
You and your sister, I gather, have a very close artistic partnership. What do you learn doing a solo album?
I've always been writing material alone, and, you know, when I was 18, I started making music with my sister. And that was incredible, and it continues to be incredible and fulfilling and wonderful. But this album is mainly rooted in self-expression and being as honest with myself as I can be and as open with the audience as I'm capable of being.
Phineas talking about his newly released album, Optimist. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What was the point?